All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. In Texas, that same number. Sandy is still here. And you know, Sandy, I just, on this education thing, I just can't get it out of my system, because when you're around it and you see it, and you see kids.
And you're around it now with your Voices of the Elders.
Yeah. But I'm also, before there was Voices of the Elders, I spent 10 years or more volunteering in the public school system. And so I've seen it all, from the high school level to the middle school level to the grade school level. And you almost can see some stuff going on at the grade school level with kids in development. And the lack of development. And so my thing is, as they move up the ladder in age and they didn't get what they were supposed to get early on, no teacher who has, you know, 25, 30 students in a class, I still think that's too many kids today. There were more kids, and, you know, we were baby boomers, so there are a lot of kids in our classrooms then, but they weren't dealing with a lot of the issues that kids are dealing with today. Urban kids are dealing with living in war zones and transients. You know, kids are transient. They live out of garbage bags. I don't know if people really know the depth of that. You know, single mother, not educated herself, two or three children. No support, and so what is the child is basically on their own. So by the time they get to school, there's so many different issues. I said this even by Milwaukee Public Schools. It has it's become a social service agency before it can educate, and that's not a good thing, right? I mean, if your number one thing you have to do when a student comes to school is feed them, clothe them, deal with the emotional things. Milwaukee Public Schools has its own social service agency, basically.
Well, that's why I said earlier I thought that the education problem was a false flag. And that the real problem is poverty. And until we deal with poverty, the education problem will not get solved.
So you're
describing the problems of poverty, which lead the schools to become social service agencies. And particularly if all of the families that aren't suffering the kind of problems you described leave to go to voucher schools or choice schools, and the public school system is now left with a population which is exceedingly difficult to teach.
So that's what it is, Sandy. Why can't we get the society to address that? It's easy, again, to point the finger and say the teachers are failing the kids.
Well, the problem is that it's sort of a chicken and egg. So now we have a public school system that is having result problems. The result problems we can point back at and say, well, it's because the population of that school is going to have problems,
right,
based on the nature of the population. But now we're going to say to families who are nuclear and involved with their schooling, we're going to say to those parents, you've got to send your kids back to this school, which is filled with problems.
Right.
And so the people will not want to do that, right? I mean, you're not, if you have a choice for your child, can I send my child to a school that is fraught with problems? Or can I send my child to a school which is not? You're going to choose the is not.
Right.
And regardless of what the social purpose is, you're going to choose the best outcome for your child. And that's why it's becoming increasingly hard to reverse course here, because we now have a situation in which it's very hard to, and we have people who have means now who are moving out of the city,
right,
when they have children. In fact, my son's a real estate developer. He knows that the baby boomer, the millennial kids and the others who are living in apartments in the city are likely to leave the city when they have children so they can take their children to a different school district.
You know, Sandy, at the same time, you've got a lot of universities that, you know, the number one thing they did was educate people to become educators. People aren't going into education as much anymore. And so that impacts and affects many of the universities that were, you know.
Well, it's interesting. The UW system, almost all the system schools that are not UW-Madison were called state teachers' colleges.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so, you know, Milwaukee, the UWM was a state teachers' college, and so were a lot of the other colleges around. So they were actually there for the purpose of teaching teachers.
So now you look at, and I watch, because MPS almost on a daily basis sends out a list of, you know, opportunities, and man, it's always teachers, teachers, teachers. They're all over the nation looking, trying to find teachers.
Well, we're back to the theme that I wish, if I could call the shots for a political party, I would have a party of the children. And I would have a party that would focus attention on the United States developing policies, which were designed to benefit children, to give every child in this country the birthright that we think America provides to children. And if we did that, we could easily then talk about the social safety nets that we need in order to allow children to thrive. We need to have child daycare. We need to have preschool training. We need to have better money, better schools. We need to have good training. We need health care. And we need wellness and health care for our children. You know, these things would be easy to talk about if we were all really interested in our children and their futures. And we would have free education going as far into the future as a child needs to thrive. And that's what Northern Europe has done, because I think other than our culture, I think most of the cultures in this world are very focused on their children, and I would assert that our culture has lost its way.
Oh, there's no question, Sandy, that it's lost its way, and I don't, you know, foresee it getting back on track.
Well, maybe it could, because I do think everyone, in fact, wants the best for their own children. The question is, are we worried about the children of our community? Do we have a community value that relates to children generally? And if we could reawaken that and have everyone look at every child as if that could be my child, I want that child to have the birthright of the best birthright possible, we could maybe start talking about these policies in a way that makes sense, because we would start worrying about our children and grandchildren in a broad communal sense rather than a personal sense.
You know, Sandy, if you don't take care of these children, especially in the urban centers and everything that's going on, they grow up. They don't remain children forever. And if you haven't done anything to cultivate them,
right?
People ask the questions, well, why are those people stealing our kids, stealing all those cars? Well, they haven't been cultivated. You know, children have to be cultivated. All of us as human beings were cultivated. Either they're going to be cultivated or they're not. And if they're not cultivated, then this is what you get. And we ain't going to have enough money to spend on prisons and all those other things that people say, we need more police. All of those things aren't going to fix it.
Well, in fact, our prison population is in large part a reflection of the failure of our ability to deal with the birthright of children. You know, we don't have a disproportionate number of criminals. We have a disproportionate number of people living hopeless in hopeless poverty, and that's because we have a disproportionate number of people in prison. We have more people in prison in the United States per capita than any country in the world,
and we act like we're proud of that because we need more. Sandy, it's always great, man. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend. I'll see you on Monday. Sam, happy Easter to you. All right. See you later.
You need to get to church more often.
Yeah, all right. All right. See everybody later. Bye.